Today FM Breakfast, M, Grant and Ed.
Hey, podcast. Good on you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, dudes. Danny Lakey came in. You weren't here for that, Grant. Danny Lakey came in to ask, what's the weird smell that you like? Do you have a weird smell that you like? You like car sort of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't say what I was going to say because people shouldn't do it.
What? Say good. It.
Yeah. Oh, when I was a kid, I got a little Pee Wee 50, little motorbike when I was a kid. I used to love the smell of petrol.
Yeah, that's okay. No, kids said that too.
Yeah, not yeah.
Well, Ed likes saying, poo.
My son's poo because it means his body's working properly.
Oh my god, that is weird.
I know.
Really?
We all thought it was a bit.
That is not. That's not designed to be a good smell though.
Not by 11 months. No, I like the first breast milk poos are cute. They smell fine.
But if something was up, you know. I'd be the first to know about it.
Do you think that's where it shows up in the poo first?
Are you like a gorilla whisperer where you just wander through and just poke through the poo and see how he's going, how his internals are working?
Do you dipstick with your finger? Do you dipstick it?
I don't do nothing.
I used to dipstick it. Like, isn't that a Russian roulette?
Hang on, what?
So if I thought the girls had done a poo, I'd get my finger out and I'd stick it down the back to see if it was there. And like, sometimes it wasn't, sometimes it wasn't.
I lift his little back flap and then, oh no, because it's, you normally, he does his face.
Oh, how good's the poo face when they go off?
It's such a cute little thing.
When they're toddlers and they can walk off to poo. Are you pooing? No! Don't look at me!
Go out, mum!
And Bianca and Carla from the block. Nice.
Oh, they're my favourites.
They're good people.
They remind me of the women from the start of Wonder Woman, the Amazonians.
Yes!
I felt like I was surrounded by just the powerful, tall netballers. And they're the best on the block. They're the most calm because Keith is a diva. Let's be real.
They'll make a lot of money out of that penthouse.
Well, I feel like they have. Hasn't that already happened?
No, the auction hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
We wait for the auction.
Okay.
Excellent. Have a nice pot, everyone.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Yes. Good morning. One minute past six is the official time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having a...
I'm having...
Smells good.
You know what I'm having?
Yeah,
Milo. A lot of Milo in a Russell Coit mug.
Hey, is it tin?
Tin.
Yeah, those are really good.
Don't put them in a microwave. A spark.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right.
And I'm having a wholemeal English muffin with Vegemite just as a snack before my breakfast wrap arrives.
How good is a muffin?
What about a crumpet with real butter on it? You know, it sucks into the little pores and then it drips down your chin, but you got to get the bottom really crispy. God, I want a crumpet now.
Get a crumpet. Golden. They're the only food, crumpets, that come stacked in a vacuum pack.
Yes.
Like, there's no...
Oh. I imagine those things would last a nuclear holocaust. You could actually take them underground.
Good. They're so
delicious. So moist.
Not heaps of crumpet talk today, but we're going to go to Canberra. We have to find out who's going to be in charge of this country.
The softening of Peter Dutton that's going to start. We're going to be seeing a lot of him with puppies, a lot of him with some children.
Former Queensland policeman.
Yeah.
And yes,
3% approval rating.
Well, also 3% people who know who he is, right?
Correct.
That's the first fight.
I'll put the potatoes out as gaining momentum, I'm hearing online.
He's having fun.
So let's see what happens.
And also we have got Bianca and Carla from the block. The block is very fighty this year. They're fighting with each other.
It is. The Sydney couple especially, that young lady, Sarah.
Sarah.
She's been quite upset, but she's got a gold bath arriving, which everyone's very excited about.
Okay. I'm going to ask him if the walls are thin at the block, because whenever I used a friend of mine who was a carpenter, his big complaint with the block is always the same, that the walls are very thin.
Okay.
And that when you go in there, because they're converting things quickly, that they wouldn't be very well built.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's
awesome.
That's his argument.
Okay.
But let's get the engine started.
Sydney, start your engines.
Start your engines, brothers.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about who's in charge of the country today.
Yes.
And it's all about who's on whose team now. So it's Team Dutton / Abbott versus Team Malcolm / nobody.
Well, 35 people are off Team Malcolm, and who were those people?
Well, 48-35 was the final score, and so there is a whole list. Telegraph's got a good list today of the people who voted against him. And as usual, you go, who? Poo.
Really?
Poo.
But Mal's now got that list taped on the fridge, and him and Lucy are really looking at it seriously.
And so then you ask who are the people who supported him.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to some, AM radio on my way in today. And here's a little list of some of the people who support Malcolm Turnbull, and see if you can pick out the name that made me go, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm.
So the Turnbull backers, you've got Scott Morrison, Joy Bishop, Christopher Pine, Dan Tehan, Craig Laundry, Kelly O'Dwyer, Josh Frydenberg, Matthias Cormann, Mitch Fifield and Simon Birmingham.
Craig Laundry.
Why does that surprise you?
His last name's Laundry.
Oh, okay. I thought, oh, is there some sort of shenanigans? You just said, like, his name. I mean, we love his name.
Just like, hee. And so, and we got Laundry support.
It does sound like he's calling for the maid.
He'll come out in the wash. We got Laundry support.
I just love how Bish manages to keep her head afloat no matter what. I mean, how many leadership spills has Bish maintained her complete role? So she, I always go, where's Bish gone? That person's going
to
win.
Yeah, she says, because she went, remember when she flipped to Abbott, Turnbull late.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, Abbott's dead. Yeah.
So another one coming, we'll talk to Seven, we'll talk to Jono, Canberra reporter for Channel 10. He's going to tell you, because he was there yesterday. God, it must be weird. Like, those guys have got to now, like, work together today. Oh, maybe they don't care. Maybe the leaders just sort of like, because they're all trying to save their own jobs. They're not worried about, like, Craig Laundrie's worried about Craig Laundrie.
Craig Laundrie doesn't give a crap about the country. What's everyone doing for Craig Laundrie today?
Yeah.
But what I want to know is which comedian gets to play Peter Dutton now? I mean, who gets to take on that role if he becomes Prime Minister?
So you do the lookalikes, but Mooney, who does Turnbull, doesn't look a lot like Turnbull.
Poor Mooney, it's a hard day for him. He's worried it could be over.
Yeah, I know. our thoughts are with him today.
He's the one who's most affected. Stuff Laundrie. Lawrence Mooney won't be able to impersonate the PM quite as much.
Yeah, that's a good question. The comedian will do Dutton. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Because Usain Bolt.
Oh, yeah. How's his soccer career going?
Well, he started his first training session with the Central Coast Mariners. And he did a press conference, and a lengthy press conference. And Usain is very good with the media, and we appreciate that. And here he goes talking about where he's at. And hang on. This is a huge piece of information that's just come through, but Craig Laundrie, brother,
what
is Stu from The Bachelor? Now I understand that his name was Laundy.
Laundy.
Yeah, I understand that Stu Laundy. There was not an R, so has someone dropped the R to not be called Laund? Hi, Gox.
Oh God, we've got a
the
Gox
newsroom.
Him.
My God.
Okay, yep.
But it wasn't.
Is it Laundry or Laundy?
Oh,
that woman said the name wrong.
No, she's ruined it. She's ruined everything, Gogs.
Oh,
so hang on, you're telling me that the Bachelor, the former, Sophie Monk's former boyfriend.
Is, the pub owner?
Yeah.
The married one with kids? Yeah.
Well, he knows a bit about switching teams when you're still committed to something else, doesn't he?
God, he could be. Maybe we'll back him.
He could be a front runner for Prime Minister. Craig Laundry.
Let's call him Laundry anyway.
God, that's
Prime Minister Laundry.
Dogs, thank you for your facts, but God, that's boring.
Put your laundry out.
Put your laundry out.
That'd be amazing.
What did he say?
Take it away, Usain.
I think I see the game very well. I have to work on the basic skills. No. I think I'm very good at controlling and stuff like that. But there's things that I need to learn, and that's why I'm here.
Sorry, what? Is that why you're there? When he says basic skills, Ed, what does he mean?
I think it's just like passing and shooting and
kicking.
Soccer.
Putting his boots on. I'm really worried. I told you I was worried about this.
I don't know if I want a new recruit saying he needs to learn at a professional club to say that he needs to learn the basic skills.
Also, I can see the game. We can all see the game. He's saying we've got eyes.
I know.
It's not a skill.
So let's put that to one side.
Okay.
And let's hope that, you know, today he learns the basic skills and then he's good to go.
He looked slow on his feet and appeared out of place amongst the company of professional footballers.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I'm concerned.
Who said that? I didn't like that. Was that a reporter, wasn't
ABC
it?
ABC reporter.
Yeah, ABC, typically.
Oh, come on.
Had to be an ABC reporter.
If it takes
reporter.
12 months for him to learn the skills, I'm happy with that. I'll pull your head in, Mulvey.
No, that's fair enough. If he's here for... So what they're trying to do, though, is keep him here as long as they can. So if they're smart, they'll say to Usain, hey, man, like, we need to really look after your skills.
Can he play soccer? Has he
there's
ever?
There's no indication that he can play soccer.
Oh, my God. That's not important.
Joined in studio by the overnight maniac that is Danny Lakey. Get around him.
He makes me feel like I'm the only girl in the world.
You are.
Thanks, baby.
Well played.
Get around me.
Get around him.
My strong overarching themes this week, guys, smells.
Hey, smells. He's a smell guy on radio.
Tell us. Yeah, it works.
When I sort of read articles like this during the week, it kind of makes me feel relieved because I don't think I'm going far enough into my sneaky smells and what sort of I enjoy. There's a British Airways hostess who's been suspended for selling her stockings after she's used them because people like to smell them.
I didn't know she was selling them. I thought she herself was smelling them after a long shift.
Well, she enjoys a good sniff first, but then once she sort of sniffed most of the pheromones and the good stuff out of it, she's probably palming it off.
Nice. And do we know, are they going OS Lakey, or is she selling them local, or is this like an online situation?
I think this is like an international PO box situation. Usually people who order these kind of things want to remain anonymous, so it'll go to a locked bag.
Okay. And so a locked bag would probably even
maintain
help, because when
smell.
When you first crack the locked bag, you get a first go, buddy.
Yeah. Aeroplane now, smellies, I like to call them.
Yeah. You strike me as the kind of guy that would probably be into stocking sniffing.
Look, I'm not going as far as stockings. I'm sort of going the other way. I like my own bodily functions. And there are plenty of interesting...
Give us a list.
Did you hear what he just said to you? Like, do you seem like the type of guy who'd be into stocking sniffing?
Yeah.
That's not going to make the top five, guys.
I love it. And you just moved on. Yeah, and?
Yeah. That's somewhere between 10 and 5. But coming in at number 5, petrol. Number 4, moustache dairy. That's always fun.
What's that?
That's when I have too much sour cream or yogurt, and some gets on my moustache, and then it's sort of like, it pasteurizes. About 10 minutes later, it smells like a small type of cheese.
Do all men with moustaches do that?
I think so. I think so.
It's the after smell on your moustache, Ben.
Yeah, definitely.
So you sniff your moustache.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, moustache dairy. It's great.
Has anyone come up with like moustache fragrances, like, so you could spray on your moustache, like could you have new car smell on your moustache all day?
I was gonna say I came through some oil just before a date if I know I've had too much sour cream that morning and try and mask the smell.
I never even thought about that. Okay, what's next?
Fresh tennis balls. That brings me back to the days I was on a tennis scholarship when you freshly open them out of the can.
Now, when you talking about the ones when they used to have a can of Coke, they had the the foil.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. Stuff, buddy. It doesn't lose the pressure. Gas leaks. Oh. They're always good fun as well.
Gas leaks?
And deadly.
Deadly. But what I've realised is the bit that makes the gas smell like it is actually something else. The gas is odourless, so they add the extra thing.
Yeah, I
just want the extra thing. I can sniff that for days.
Yeah, I don't want to die. I just want to smell the stuff that tells me I'm dying.
Exactly. Okay. Smells like hot chips. And my favourite one, and keeping in mind, this is a judgment-free zone, guys, because we're going to put it out there on 131060. Sure. What bad smell do you secretly enjoy? And I don't care if you don't admit to this. I know deep down every single person knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
When you pick your toenail and then smell your fingernail afterwards.
I've honestly never done that. I mean, I will now. You've recommended it.
Have a go. Have a go, honestly.
So why don't we talk? So you clip your toenails. I don't pick my toenails. I clip them in the bathroom with clippers.
See, this is a concept that's foreign to me. I'm not sure what you're talking about with that sort of witchcraft.
What do you mean? Tap the clippings out. But my fingers don't touch my toes when I clip them.
Oh, okay. Well, I just peel them. I don't own a clipper or anything. I just peel them. Anyway, this is besides the point. It's a smell. This is a judgment-free zone. And I don't choose what smells I like, by the way. This is just fumes going into my nose, making a subconscious decision, firing off positive neurons or negative feelings. Decide it.
No, you don't, mate.
I like the smell.
Okay, so 131060, what traditionally bad smell do you like?
Or odd smell. What odd smell do you like, Ed Cavalli?
Strange. Well, I'll tell you in a moment.
Just what a hook.
131060, there's the family passes to Kingpin Bowling. There's $50 to go to Man Cave Barbershop for those willing to be honest with themselves and ours. 131060, the odd / traditionally unpresent smells that you like.
Get all the M, Grant and Ed you've missed. Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
Danny Lakey, the overnight maniac, he's joining us in the studio for Talking Smells.
Get around me. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Because the news that came onto my desk that a lady likes to sniff her own cabin pressure stocking sweat with a tinge of cockpit now doesn't make me seem so bad enjoying the smell of moustache dairy, gas leaks, fingernails after a heavy session on the toenails, etc., etc.
Beautiful.
Okay. What do you like?
I like the smell of my son's poo. He's 11 months, and it means that his body is working properly.
Okay. So wow. Lakey is looking around. Yeah, not
don't know about that, mate.
You're getting judged by Dave.
Is it too late to dump that, guys? That's very offensive.
Well, we can dump it, but it's, you know.
So, guys, it's a bit means.
Okay, even Kim's a bit, okay?
Kim's for it, mate. Kim's on my side.
Kim's not sure about that. No, don't tell the truth.
Get in here, Kim.
Fine.
Get in here.
I like the smell of, I don't mind my own farts.
Mm. Well, that's worse.
Nah,
that's
not.
Worse than
I don't mind a fart. If I do a fart, I'll sniff to see how good it is.
That's worse.
Nah, don't you check? No. If you do a fart, Lakey, come on.
Everyone loves the smell of their own brew.
I don't. No, but right, no, I that's don't. The I do. I'll be like, oh yeah, you probably need to adjust your diet today. A little bit methane-y.
Kim, you're on my side because it means medically that my son, it's all working. Like if it smelled really weird, then I'd be like, well, something's up.
11-month-old poo, not newborn baby poo. We're talking he's on solids now. It's proper poo.
But you like the smell. This is the question.
Yeah, because you go like that. That.
I love you. It's great. It's a great thing.
It's true. Judgment-free stuff. This isn't 131060. Do your own fecal diagnosis. It's what's your favourite smell?
Hang on. All right. You want to go fecal? Let's go fecal. Because what did you tell me in the corridor the other day, Danny Lakey?
I donate my poo. Get around me. I'll start donating half of it to you.
You should let me check it before it leaves the building.
Amazing.
So you told me that you were meant to give two samples, right? But
I had to be quarantined for 2 weeks because I went to Laon, Thailand.
No. You told me that you were meant to give two samples. You A, couldn't be bothered, or B, didn't do it. So what did you do?
Yes, right. Yeah, so I chopped it in half and just put it in two separate containers. You're supposed to do one on day one and one on day 10, and I just got my timing mixed up.
So like in the MasterChef kitchen, Lakey's there with the knife going.
Like end your turn?
Like a sushi chef.
Jesus. All right. What weird smells do you like, guys, on the back of this?
Hey, Chris.
Yep.
Who's weirder, me or Lakey? I medically check my son's poo to make sure everything's okay smell-wise, and he's out there with the filleting knife carving up a number two.
Getting paid $40 per dump, by the way.
Who's weirder, me or Lakey?
Definitely Lakey.
Get her out! Oh, hang on.
I feel like Chris listens to Lakey, though. That's just a prank, isn't it?
All right, Chris, what smell do you like?
Oh, I love my earwax. Like, I love to get my finger in there, get a nice big chunk of it, roll it around, and give it a good sniff.
Oh,
that's not okay.
Chris, good on you, man. I mean, is it, mate, you don't eat it though, do you, Chris?
And the thing is, like, I've seen a lot of people do it, so it's not it's like people might say it's gross, but I've seen people do it.
Yeah. Where do you put it when you're done?
Give it a good old flick. It's like a booger, except it just smells better.
It's just like a booger, except it smells better. Right.
Kingpin Bowling and Man Cave Barbershop, you've won that, Chris. And here comes Owen from Mount Druitt. Owen?
Hello.
Hello.
What's your smell? What's your smell of choice, Owen?
Well, there's two close seconds to the smell of fresh cash from an ATM, like real fresh.
Yeah, but we all like that. Yeah.
My top one is, you know how, like, just before you get in the shower, you pick all the lint out of your belly button?
Oh, Owen.
No.
You pick the lint out and you give that a sniff.
I don't have any lint.
See, for me, that mine is odourless when I get my lint, because I've given that a red hot crack a couple of times over my career, but I haven't got much joy from it.
Owen saves it.
Smell.
Owen saves it up. Owen, you've both won and lost. So you've got the Kingpin Bowling and vouchers to Man Cave Barbershop. Thank you, Lakey.
And our executive producer's disgust.
Dry reaching in the corner.
Judgment free, guys.
Lakey, well played.
Thanks,
more
Charlie.
Of you tonight.
Oh, now, I'm doing this at 6:47 because I know he's asleep and he doesn't listen to us. Oh, so,
easy.
My husband, I went to talk to you about this today because I need to know if I'm allowed to be mad or not.
Okay.
How's your time management? If Tiff asks you to help her out, I feel like you're very good at helping out, though. If you know you've got to, say, cook dinner or you've got to clean up or do something with the kids, do you do that first before you do the fun stuff?
So there's a lot of things I'm bad at in life, but one thing that I've tried over the years to get better at is that I'm quite rigid when it comes to, if this has to be done, I will do it, because I hate that feeling of things are building up behind me.
Yes.
I hate that feeling.
My husband doesn't have that fear of build-up.
Oh, wow.
He seems to live for the build-up.
Oh, God.
So yesterday he was supposed to clean the kitchen because, of course, when he cooks dinner, it looks like the MasterChef cast have had an orgy in there.
Yeah.
And so he texted me and he texted me as I was coming home from work, I'm going to Pilates.
What time?
11 a.m. What a life.
Whoa.
What a life, guys.
Whoa.
I'm going to Pilates. I'll clean the house when I get home.
Mm.
And I got home 2 hours after his Pilates class and he still wasn't home. So the house was a bomb. And I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to leave it. And then he got home and he didn't clean. He sat down on his computer and he asked me how to invite people to like his Facebook page. That was what he was doing. And then, at around about, it was his turn to cook dinner. And then at about 5 o'clock, he felt it was probably time he got on his indoor road bike and rode a Tour de France circuit.
No.
So he's down in the study, spitting and sweating inside with his laptop in front of him like he's riding the Tour de France. You're not riding the Tour de France, dickhead. Well, I'm sitting there secretly fuming because 6 o'clock rolls around.
Yeah, they're hungry and the kids.
And I've got to go to bed at 7:30. And then he comes up the stairs. And so I was making the dinner and I was smashing everything around. And he's like, what's wrong? I said, you are taking the piss, sir.
Yeah.
You went to an 11 o'clock Pilates. You've ridden for 2 hours on your stationary bike. Where's the dinner?
Where's dinner?
And he said, oh, I thought Odie might cook it. Odie's 11. And I said, what? Were you going to mentally telepathy her that message? I'm so mad.
Had she been asked at all?
No.
Had she? When he said the 11-year-old could cook dinner, what was she doing instead?
She was just doing her homework. Just being a kid, guys, living their best life.
She's and being 11.
He said to me, you're being unreasonable. I said, Lady Muck. You work 2 days a week. I love my husband and he works 2 days a week so that I may work this job. He sacrificed his career so that I can work this job. But I feel if you've got time from an 11 a.m. Pilates class and a 2 hour Tour de France ride, you can cook the bloody dinner.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you.
And he's got to get smart. He's got to learn to either cook a lot of food at the start of the week and then let it just like...
Or any time between, say, when he gets up at 8 a.m. Poor guy, he's so tired.
What a legend.
And you know what he says to me last night as we're going to bed? Oh, God, I'm exhausted.
Oh, well, you would be. It's all that riding.
And then I said to him, you're not allowed to be tired because you don't have the monopoly on being tired. You don't own tired just because you get up at 4 a.m. I said, no, I'm growing a child and I do breakfast radio.
Yeah.
Look me up in the dictionary. I'm tired.
You own tired.
Thank you, Ed.
You built a hotel there.
Thank you.
Forget the alphabet and the adults. This is Alphabet Kids.
6 minutes past seven, 104.1 today. FM Breakfast. He's in the house. TV's Grant Danyer. Good to see ya.
Good to be back.
And why not start with one of the things that you know well, hosting Alphabet Kids.
We've got 8-year-old Jacob from Rudy Hill on the line. Hey, Jacob, how are you this morning?
Good.
Cool, man. Are you ready to play today FM's Alphabet? You know how it works, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
What's your favourite movie?
Jumanji, the original.
Oh, good. I love that you specified the original because that's important.
Originals are always the best, Jacob.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get you some cash now. You've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions and all your answers must start with the letter C. Okay, Jacob, C for circus. For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand. And if you don't know an answer, that's okay. Just say pass and then we'll move on to the next question. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final, and Mum and Dad can't help. This is just Jacob. Here we go. Your letter is C. Best of luck. Name a way of transport.
Car.
A sport.
Pass.
A Disney character.
Pass.
A vegetable.
Carrot.
A girl's name.
Caroline.
An animal.
Cat.
A chocolate bar.
Pass.
Chip flavour.
Chicken.
Pretty good.
What did he say?
Chicken.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
$500, Jacob.
Thank get on you. Your phone.
No,
you're
excited.
Welcome.
I think he dropped his phone. He was that excited. Well done, Jacob. Great job.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jacob. It's going off to spend the money.
High standards.
Toxic, the perfect song to lead us into the current situation in Canberra. And joining us on the line now to make sense of it all, Channel 10 political reporter Jono Lee. Morning, mate.
Hello, great people of the real world.
Oh, Jono, what a morning for you. It's your grand final, doll. You okay? You're holding it together?
You come back to work, you spend last night injecting whiskey in the eyeballs, and you just got to do it all over again.
I want to ask you, Peter Dutton, right? If he ends up taking control of the Liberal Party, I don't think
you'd
he can
be right,
win
wouldn't you? You'd love it.
No, God, I'd be so happy. I'm just glad he's not the Minister for Home Affairs anymore. That's been the one bonus from this. Mm-hmm. But he's got such a cold persona, and he's so polarising. Even if he does get put there, who's going to vote for him?
Well, that's the thing. He's an arch-conservative. He's very popular in Queensland. The big problem the coalition has got, the government has got, is there are a string of marginal seats in Queensland, six or seven of them, and they know they're swinging away from the government, and they're conservative seats. So the government wants to bring somebody in and move the Liberal Party, the coalition, back towards the right side of politics, yeah. The conservative side. So it wants to win them back over, and it thinks its man to do that is Peter Dutton, who is also a Queenslander. The problem you have there is Peter Dutton doesn't necessarily appeal to inner-city voters in Sydney and in Melbourne in particular. So the sorts of people he's going to appeal aren't necessarily going to like him down in Wentworth, which is, for instance, where Malcolm Turnbull's seat is. And if he goes in a by-election, you can't imagine the Greens in that area, which are, it's a very heavily dominated area for what we call progressive voters.
I lived in Wentworth for 16, 17 years. There is no way a Green was going to win Wentworth. The Liberal Party could put up like the corpse of
Captain Planet,
anyone, and they would win Wentworth. That's madness.
Well, you say that, but I've had other Libs say to me last night that there were three main seats in Sydney which were starting to swing towards the Greens, and that was the third one. So we wait and see. Yeah. It's huge, yeah.
That's right. So
doctors' wives, they say.
So, okay, so Mal...
That's true, actually. Okay.
So Mal obviously has 35 turncoats on his hands. He's just hanging on. Is he going to hang on? Like, who is the prime...
I think we're heading towards our seventh prime minister in 11 years. What happens now is it's death by a thousand cuts. Whether you like it or not, this all just starts to stack up and it becomes that political fire. And I don't know if you've ever started a really good bonfire, but there's no wind at all. And all of a sudden you light the fire and suddenly it starts to take all of the oxygen. It starts to move the air. And everything now will start to be changed and it'll all just become consumed by this. And in the end, it becomes almost impossible to hang on. It's kind of like, you know, you've got the pride line. The line gets cut and in the end, it's death by a thousand cuts. Very, very hard for me because this is all that anyone will want to talk about. So whether you like Malcolm or not, it will become very, very hard from here for him to hold on. And it's the progressives or the moderates in the Liberal Party versus the more conservatives, and that's where this angst is over.
Yeah, so what happens next then? So if he's lost the support of more than half the party, what happens for him? What is the next stage?
Well, this will all come to a head either later this week or in probably 3 or 4 weeks' time when they'll have another tilt. And either Peter Dutton has the numbers or they'll find kind of a consensus candidate who will appeal to both sides. Because I'll say, in the end, they have to put this to bed. And what this will become about is everyone starts to get edgy about their $200,000 a year paycheck.
That's what it becomes about. It becomes about them locally. So no one in Queensland. So he's very popular in Queensland, Peter Dutton. And so all of the Queensland MPs are going to be like, well, I need him. And so they'll go behind Dutton. So the question everyone's asking, Jono, Channel 10 political reporter, is... Julie Bishop changes like the wind. She'll just go with whoever seems to win. But she seems to be somehow riding above this. It's never about her. Mm. Why won't she do it? Well, if everyone likes her, she wins every time unopposed as deputy. Why can't she ever go?
Well, it's I don't necessarily enough. Think she will win next time as deputy. Greg Hunt, the health minister, looks like he might end up running for the deputy position. Now, the danger of that is there's very few women in the coalition. There's very few women in strong leadership positions. You take the deputy, women get outraged, rightly so. Julie Bishop is very popular outside the party. A lot of people like her, but they don't necessarily like her inside. And what some people say is it's very easy to be a good foreign minister because no one ever challenges you as foreign minister. You always just look amazing because the opposition never stands up and says, we disagree with that policy because nobody wants an air gap in politics when it comes to foreign policy. You always stand side by side, so you look united. so no one can ever criticise you over
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Well, Jono.
But who is it? I want, in one word, because we've got to go, it's not going to be Dutton because he can't win a federal election.
I don't know about that. I reckon
I don't think he can win. I don't think he can go up against Bill Shorten and win.
You've got to remember, sometimes you're in a city, well, we are in a city people, you've got to remember this is that, as you know, Grant, that ain't the country.
No, that's exactly right.
No.
So, Jono, you think it's Dutton?
No, but you'd be amazed at how many people would like him. I think the smoky will be Scott Morrison. He rides with whichever tribe's looking tough, and he's a very, very strong man, very strong leader himself. Wait to see if he ends up doing the wide, you know, cavalry charge coming in from the side,
and just see
what happens there.
Dutton's
and Julie Bishop ain't going to go down without a fight. If she knows that she's going to lose her deputy leadership, you wait to see what happens there.
Hey, Jono, what a lot of fun you're having. Let's just move them all to Survivor Island. Let's do this properly.
Whiskey in the eyeballs.
Whiskey in the eyeballs, my man. Hey, Jono Lee, Channel 10 political reporter. You can see his reports all day on your Network 10.
The only way to get even more M. Grant and Ed is to download and subscribe to the podcast. Head to todayfm.com.au.
Grant Daniel, yesterday was one of the major stories on news.com.au, even though there was potentially a change of Prime Minister.
Yes.
It was Grant Daniel apologises for touching his groin in television commercial. And this is something that you said you purposely touched yourself during our television commercial.
No, I didn't believe I said that at all.
And now you've been lording it up over everyone and just like high-fiving in the halls. You'll never believe what I did. And then you admitted that you used to do it behind the set on Family Feud as well. And, you know, your silence is deafening. And this is not going away. Turn his mic on. Don't let him cough. This is the truth of coughs coming out.
Yeah.
A lot of people are shocked. I received this from the National Drive Time show yesterday after work.
You know, it was a reflex, right? You know, it was not an intentional act to in front of the country.
There we go.
Touch myself or readjust myself while the cameras were rolling.
You
it was purely an accident.
Admitted you can't help yourself. That you've been pulled up on Family Feud time and time and time and time again by producers. Please stop touching
So a lot of people are upset by this. This was the first email I received yesterday afternoon from Dave and Kate.
Oh, no.
Okay. Hey, Em and Ed. I don't think we're saying Grant's name in the title.
I can't, Husey, after what I've seen.
You can't unsee it, can you?
I don't ever want to talk to him again.
I don't know what I'm going to tell my children.
How they loved him, our children.
Every night, let's watch Family Feud.
Loved him on Family Feud.
Let's record it.
With his big white teeth and his dirty hands.
And let's stop it so that we can have a go at the answers. But now, I'm going to have to erase all those
episodes terrible.
Because who knows, that my children, Kate, might go to the IQ and say, let's watch an old episode
of Family Feud, of old Hansy Grant.
Turn it on and then pause, and where's his hand going to be?
We don't know.
Anyway.
It's a really upsetting.
Yes. Well, we will go on.
Oh,
well,
we
possibly
will.
The network will be shut down.
Oh,
I don't know.
Daniel,
what a pig.
What a pig indeed.
So that has escalated in the space of 12 hours. What has happened?
It's getting worse for you because you made the local news here, the national news. Then you're on National Drive Time Radio. You think you got away with it? You didn't, because then after that came through, then I got another alert with your name that you'd made the news at the BBC. This is the World Service from last night.
This is the BBC World Service. Greenwich Mean Time is 12 a.m. Here is the news. Diminutive television pervert Grant Daniel has gone on a wild genital-grabbing rampage across Australian television. Speaking on radio, Grant Daniel said, quote, "It excites me greatly to think that everybody's watching me grab the junk, swing it around like it ain't no thing."
Oh, I mean, that's... Then I get another alert. It's made the news in Germany.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Germany?
Yeah, yeah. So
how do they take to crotch-grabbing?
The home of it.
What?
No.
How dare you besmirch Ed's favourite country.
Wow, this is what I'm talking about.
This went out on
De Velde program last night.
I love De Velde.
Guten Abend. Das sind die Neuigkeiten. Grant Daniel, ein pervert der TV, super touchy touchy the nuts.
So,
Very detailed explanation in German.
That's all you need, mate. Yes. That's all you need. It's a universal language of shame.
Bumbrunched. Next.
So, it's on, and it's on in a big way, Em's Big Bump Brunch. Basically, I want to gather as many pregnant women in Sydney together in one space and eat with reckless abandon because I've been starving this pregnancy. And I figured, boys, it needed to be a brunch because how can I be expected to last from second breakfast to lunch?
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
So, if you are a pregnant person, you need to go to todayfm.com.au in the /win page and register your details, and you could be coming along. We've already had it's gone off.
People are ready to
go. People are really ready, but we want this to be huge. And there was a lovely little list put out yesterday by a lady called Amanda, and she said there's been a whole bunch of pregnancy side effects she wasn't prepared for. Popping ears, which I haven't had. She said she's had sore hips. I've had that one. Mm-hmm. Thick hair that she doesn't have to wash. I agree. Okay. I've stopped washing my hair. Okay. One that I've had that I wasn't expecting is that I feel like I've got scurvy.
What do you mean?
Wow. What are the symptoms?
Well, bleeding gums like a pirate.
Oh, bleeding gums. Right. Yeah.
I've never had this in other pregnancies, but my gums are, like, when I clean my teeth, it looks like a massacre has occurred.
Oh, fair dinkum.
I just scrub my teeth, and when you spit the toothpaste out, it's just pink.
Is it because it's just extra blood flow through your body because it's producing a little human? It's circulating more.
Well, Dr. Denya, thank you for
I love
nothing
that idea.
There. I will go and look that
but
up.
I can't eat on the left side of my mouth, and Scott's like, you need to go to the dentist. But I can't eat on the left side of my mouth because it's so sore, and if any food gets caught, it's just, I know, and I wasn't expecting it. And my nipples, if they get any bigger, I'm not going to have a boob left.
Oh, my God.
Just all nipple?
Hostile takeover.
Yeah, because I was in the shower, and Scotty came in, and he looked at me, and he said, Jesus, your nipples look like footy stops.
Whoa.
And I'm like, and I look down, and I've got these big square fighter pilot thumbs. And I said, I thought that once you had a baby, because this is my third, that your nipples grew and that was their ceiling.
Yeah.
But apparently with each preceding pregnancy, they just continue to grow.
So you don't mean the areola like getting
larger? No, I mean the areola and the nipple.
And the nipple also.
I could just be looking like two brown plates on my chest.
Wow.
Like it's real. I know. Thanks, guys. Good morning.
It was something that I just quickly just reached out to Shezzy about because I know that she experienced some random gear.
What did she have?
She felt a little bit funny one day. Her tummy was quite full and she couldn't sort of see downstairs. So we're in the shower. She said, look, do you mind just going down and having a bit of a look?
Oh, nice.
At the undercarriage and just make sure it's all good down there. And as it turns out, she got a thing called a bulging varicose vein on her vagina.
Wow.
Which basically tripled the size of it and made it look like a...
Good morning.
No.
Two blueberry pancakes, sort of.
Just big,
swollen.
Flapola.
Wow.
And she said, I looked down on your face while you were down there having a look and said, is everything okay? And she said, your face looked like you had seen a car crash.
Like you had.
And you said, no, I haven't.
Everything's fine down here, darling. Everything's okay.
That's amazing. Our producers just slid one of the calls back across them.
Because I think something's happened there. Megan from St. Clair. You're 37 weeks pregnant. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
You're at the business end. You are at the business end. Yep. What have you had that you weren't expecting?
Well, I didn't expect with this pregnancy because I didn't have it with my first, but I've suddenly become a snorer.
Nice.
So I used to be the one kicking my husband in bed at night. He's snoring, and now he's complaining, and I don't know what it is. No matter what I do, where how I sleep, it just won't stop.
Now, Megan, we've just had a look. About half of pregnant women are going to get the swollen, tender gums because you're more sensitive to bacteria in plaque. So that's what's going on.
So you've got to keep bacteria.
So you've got to keep going. Got to keep going. Megan sounds like $50 to spend
I'm
at Chargrill Charlie's.
Keep thinking about blueberry pancakes.
I know.
Vagina.
I'm sorry.
And now I'm scared that's going to happen. I can't even see my vagina anymore.
Did you tell Shezzy you were going to say that on radio?
I asked. She said, yeah, you can tell that story. You can share it with other women because apparently it happens. Good. Everything swells and this one swelled just particularly more.
Well, we're talking about pancakes. Please register to come along to the Big Bump Brunch. todayfm.com.au. Spots filling up fast. If you're a pregnant person or you know one, get in, get on soon. Yum.
Let me entertain you.
Well, the MTV VMAs launched into our lives yesterday, and my God, the red carpet was just a bevy of see-through frocks.
I liked it.
Yikes.
It was so hectic. So we had Amber Rose, who I'm still not exactly sure what she contributes to the world.
Yeah, what does she do?
Well, she dated Wiz Khalifa and had a child.
Cool.
But she's dressed as sexy Catwoman, but Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Hybrid. Rita Ora. The theme was see-through, let's be real. Yeah. One woman who's just been identified as Sky with a question mark.
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
She went formal. She had a nice suit on and then just a little bit of crystal on her nipple for a top.
Wasn't that
nice? And then we had Nicki Minaj there in a beige leotard, which was a nice touch. Blac Chyna was there, who of course has given birth to a Kardashian child, Rob's daughter. Jesus. I have to say, and Ariana Grande was there. And can I tell you, Pete is not looking good.
No.
Have you seen shots of him?
I saw both of them yesterday, and I did think to myself, too many late nights, friends.
Don't they look like they need a good nap?
Too many late nights.
I just want to take Pete and scrub him from head to toe.
Yeah, he's a scruffy-looking gentleman, Grant Denyer.
Yeah, looks like he needs a bath and hand sanitizer, doesn't he?
And his roots done too, for goodness sake. Well, the top night, for me, J-Lo. I mean, she on the red carpet looked incredible.
She's unbelievable. Jello
she's
got a the gold standard.
Silver Gomez situation going on, and then reminded everyone why she is J-Lo and how many hits she's had. She killed it on stage. Yes. I mean, she did Jenny from the Block. She had all her hits with her, then turned up to the after party in this amazing, better than the original Versace frock she wore. She is aging backwards, that woman. But everyone is speaking about Madonna's speech. So Madonna turned up. She's obviously been in Marrakesh for her 60th, and she'd bought herself a little crown and some jewels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She walked out on stage in full regalia. You know, I love her. You know, she's my spiritual mum.
Do you know what she looked like?
Yeah.
She looked like the demon in Insidious. Can you, Kieran from the internet, can you do me a favour? Do a side-by-side of Madonna from from yesterday and then the demon from Insidious.
I'm looking. Images. Anyway, so she... Ed. Okay. So she got out there and she stood in front of a picture of Aretha Franklin.
She did.
So what would you be expecting if someone stood
Aretha
in front
Franklin.
Of... Aretha Franklin. An Aretha Franklin tribute.
Yes, please.
And to be fair, she did start out quite strongly, she said her name.
Aretha Louise Franklin changed the course of my life. I left Detroit when I was 18, $35 in my pocket. I had no training or dreams of ever becoming a singer.
Okay.
Where's Aretha? Yep.
Well, okay. And then she kept going. It is the record for the most amount of times I has been said in a tribute to someone else. She kept going.
Oh, no.
The dance audition went well.
Oh.
Then they asked me if I had sheet music and a song prepared. Fortunately, one of my favorite albums was Lady Soul. Oh. I don't need sheet music, I said. I know every word. Yeah. Finally, the phone rang, and it was one of the producers saying, "We don't think you are right for this job.
Exactly.
We think you have great potential.
Be French.
We Russian? Want to bring you to Paris French. And make you a star."
So basically, the whole speech was about how if Aretha Franklin didn't perform Natural Woman, then Madonna would not be Madonna. So thank God. I just feel like maybe someone said to Madonna, can you give a speech about the Queen?
Yeah.
And she thought they meant her.
No, that's so...
Do you know what I mean?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was.
Unbelievable.
And finally, Post Malone was forced to settle for 5 hours after the VMA after parties because his private jet...
God, I hate it when that happens.
The landing gear wasn't working. The tyres blew out, so they had to burn fuel so they could make an emergency landing. You know, when your private jet doesn't work on you, what can you trust?
That could have been sketchy, though, because you come down and you got no tyres on your plane. When you land, there's a lot of sparks, a lot of fuel around. That's why they had to empty the plane out of fuel for 5 hours.
Five
so it didn't
hours.
Explode on impact.
Mate, we've all seen Con Air, mate. We know what happens. So...
That's it.
The Block continues tonight, 7:30 on Channel 9, and the penthouse owners, Bianca and Carla, are with us in the studio. Good morning, guys.
Oh, hey. Hey, guys.
You're my favourite team.
Oh, thanks, Emma.
Now, the netballers. No, I love you guys. I love a bunch of netballers in there just keeping their cool because I tell you, I've got a beef with Keith.
Do you know what? So do I.
We're out of the penthouse and into the doghouse.
Yeah, 100%. And you've been on telly too long. That was a very telly thing.
Should we start with the crane nonsense? Because let's just for a bit of background. Bianca, what did you guys do to make Keith so angry?
Well, I was actually offside at this stage, and I came home, and Carla.
All right, way to put Carla in it. All right, Carla.
It was all Carla.
Carla, what did you do?
Well, I thought whilst Bianca's away, I'm going to get some stuff done. So there was some timber downstairs, and I thought, you know what? When Bianca comes back, imagine if she sees 100 sticks of timber up on the penthouse.
Clever.
And you just offered the crane driver a slab.
I asked the question. I said, would you do it? And he said yes for a slab. And I bolted so quick round the corner, they didn't even catch me.
Yeah.
And came back, slab
of
beer.
Well, let's hear what Keith, when Keith finds out that you've been using the crane, this is what he had to say about
it. You knew that you weren't allowed to use a crane. You went behind our back and you've used it. So I think what we'll do is we'll crane the timber back down.
There she goes.
Catch you later.
I shouldn't have done it, and we'll bring it down and we'll walk it up.
Such an athlete response. He was so calm. If they had said that to Sarah, I think she might have stabbed him in the heart. But you were like, yeah, okay, sure, take it down. I'll just bring it up again.
That's so stupid. That's so inefficient. Like, isn't the idea, Bianca, the idea of the block is that it's something that normally takes a long time, i.e. renovating a house, but it's done in a short amount of time, which is the pressure, and it's about how people deal with that pressure and how getting a good result. Now, Carla's come up with a really smart idea because you're off-site, you don't care anymore.
Yeah, whatever.
And she's had to, you know, single parent this apartment. And she's come up with a great solution. Why would they have a problem with that?
And there's a crane on site.
There's a crane 24/7. But it's cheating.
It wasn't being used.
Well, there's a bit of an issue between all the contestants. Who's in the old Gatwick and who's in the new Gatwick up the top? God. So they don't want to give us any advantage
at all. Do you know what? There's also no rule book. You don't know you're breaking a rule until you break a rule.
It's like the Marines.
Oh, it's not your fault then. Like all you did, and you should be like given points for using the beer economy. That's ingenious.
didn't even tap into our budget. So
And he didn't give it back. The crane driver should not give the slab back.
Well, he owes you one. That crane driver, he owes you one. Maybe he could crane Sarah offside.
Sarah was having meltdown after meltdown. Poor darling. But you guys didn't even finish. So you had a day off, which I thought was adventurous. Your timber hadn't arrived, so these guys just went and had a little day.
Yeah, what's that? What's with the day off when you're not your stuff isn't finished?
That was amazing.
Well, we all know that Keith gets angry if two people are off site, so one contestant always needs to be there. So we thought, let's just stir him up a little bit. We'll both go shopping.
Got more a bit of Keith. He was here. He's upset.
Morning, guys. I just have to ask the guys to stop. I haven't received a pre-start yet.
Oh, it's just here. I was waiting for you to sign it. I usually have it done by briefing, but I just wait till we cross paths to sign it.
Well, it's 8:30 now. We start at 7, so it'd be ideal to get this signed before we start work.
Okay.
What are you doing to Keith? Bianca, what are you doing?
Oh, we're just really annoying him right now, aren't we?
Oh, rough. Okay, so you guys, now with the penthouse, you stand to make basically the most of anybody. Hmm. This is a penthouse apartment in what is a nice suburb in Victoria. So you guys stand to make a lot of money out of this.
Well, we would hope, but the reserve will be the highest on our apartment, we think. Yeah, we don't have reserves. We don't know anything about our reserves yet. So, we know that that's going to be quite high because we think ours is the premium property on site.
We just need a couple of people to fall in love with it and bid, put their hand up at auction day.
It's like Husey. So it might not be the blessing that everyone thinks it might be. Is that your concern?
It has to be. It's a penalty.
Sure, it's a blessing. It's really a blessing, we can tell you that much. But woo! Just come auction day, you just never know. Nothing's guaranteed in this thing.
What do you want? If you had to say how much money you want out of this, what do you want?
As in how much we want to make or how much we want to sell for?
What do you want?
Do you know what? $5,000 would change my life right now.
No. Oh, she's a pro netballer. Of course it would.
I've got pro netballer wages. Yeah, we're female athletes.
$5,000 would change my life. Anything helps.
Guys, best of luck. Bianca and Carla, The Block. It's back tonight, 7:30 on your Channel 9. Actually, speaking of money, we've got Secret Sound next. This is the Secret Sound, girls. What do you think that is?
Jesus.
Carla, what do you think? Let's hear it one more time. What do you think that is?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that is Keith. That's what
Okay, there we go.
Yes, she's throwing the heat.
13 10 60 if you would like to play.
Get extra giggles when you download and subscribe to the podcast of M, Grant and Ed. Search Today FM Breakfast on your favourite podcast app or head to todayfm.com.au now. Today FM Secret Sound.
What's that sound?
What's that sound?
All right, $72,000 is up for grabs. This is Le Secret Sound. What we know is that there were official adjudicators, and yes, they're still standing behind me, but our executive producer, Kim Jong-un, she guessed the secret sound, Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're being coy.
That's very first lips.
I know. I wish I hadn't. I just wish I hadn't.
I know. It's really exhausting, the burden of knowledge. Guys, don't underestimate
72,000.
It is. So now, Kimmy, you're now our live adjudicator, okay? Mm. So we're going to take your cue. So
I just want to film your face when people guess.
I get sweaty palms.
No, you do.
I really do.
I know you
do. It's changed someone's life.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility. You've got to take it seriously. You're right.
Yeah.
Michelle from Macquarie Links.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here is the secret sound. For $72,000, what do you believe the sound to be?
Oh, my God. Okay, I think it's ripping the perforation section of the doggy poo bags. You know how you get a roll of doggy poo bags, you rip that perforation section?
Okay. Live adjudicator Kim.
It's such a creative guess, but it's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
All right, we move on. But,
thank you.
Here comes Nicole from St. Mary's. Nicole.
Good morning.
Hi, let's hear the secret sound. What do you believe the secret sound to be?
I think it's breaking like a perforated biscuit, like a salada at the perforation.
Ooh. We're having a double perforator today.
Ooh. Ooh. It's interesting, isn't it? Incorrect.
I'm filming the facials.
If you're wondering what that voice is, that's Kimmy, our executive producer, who has guessed the secret sound. So she's very smart. Now, here's Mary from Padstow. Morning, Mary.
Good morning.
I'm assuming you'll say something perforated, so let's get straight to it. For $72,000, what do you believe the secret sound to be?
I think it's ripping off a receipt from the printing machine after you've purchased something.
So with the secret sound, you really need to be specific. So what?
Thank you, Kim.
Can you please give more information, Mary?
More information?
Just...
Okay, so after the receipt comes out of the printing machine... When the person grabs the receipt and rips it off and hands it back to the customer.
Let's hear the sound one more time.
Sorry, Mary.
Are you toying with us, Kim?
I liked her answer. I just thought more information was good. Yeah. It was good.
But
it was a great answer.
You asked for more information.
I did ask
wrong.
More information. Though,
yeah, it just made us feel like she was close.
That was really good, Kim. I really enjoyed that.
It was like Ed was watching a protege.
I really enjoyed that.
You need to be more game show.
I do. I love it.
I'm trying to feel the breeze.
You're doing wonderfully well. Okay.
I don't like it.
All of the yes, you do. You love the power.
Love it. Love it.
Knowledge is never a burden, Kimmy. Knowledge is never a burden.
You love it. Obviously, we've been talking about the fact that Marcella is the lead in the school musical, and we are under 7 days to opening night, guys. This time next week, opening night of Footloose.
How's the excitement in the house? Lots of unsolicited sort of rehearsals around, just walking between the bathroom and the kitchen.
Well, we all know every lyric to the Footloose musical because that's all we get sung. But I've made a mistake, and I need some help from anyone in Sydney who can help me. So Marcella needs, if anyone's seen Footloose at the end, Kevin Bacon and Ariel, they get and they dance at their school formal. Mm-hmm. So what's required is a big 80s frou-frou prom frock. Now, the school offered to provide Cella with one, but I said, no. We'll get our own costume. Thank you very much. So I found her a dress, found her a white dress, but it was obviously formerly an 80s wedding frock.
Oh.
So you can't wear white on stage.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
No. So I thought I would change the colour of the dress.
Right.
I heard you do that.
Well, I thought a good idea, because it's taffeta and nothing sticks, fabric dye just rolled straight off the top like oil and water.
Can't do it.
Oh.
I bought some acrylic spray paint in neon pink. And I'll show you the picture.
Go on.
I sprayed the dress.
Yeah.
And now the bottom ruffles have become very stiff.
It's turned into a solid now.
Yeah.
It's a solid.
Like a suit of armor.
And the other problem is the fumes. When she pops the dress on, if she at all sweat in any way, the pink dye on her skin.
Jeez.
And also, the fumes would probably gas the entire cast.
Right.
So I don't know what to do. Size 10. If anyone out there owns a vintage shop, I'm happy to pay. But I need a size 10 over the top, frou-frou, ruffled 80s prom dress please, for the love of God, help me.
There's got to be like all the... I remember when I was doing the hoax. Oh, my God. That's lethal.
I'm just showing
looks,
him the picture.
Looks good, but yeah, it's lethal. Grant, oh, wow. You've used a lot of paint.
Oh, my God. I really... And Taylor tried to put it on last night. She looked at me. She's like, Mum, it's like cardboard.
It was never going to move.
But hang on. Can't you... So the... What about costume departments? Because I remember when I did that... When I was on the Hoax miniseries.
Oh, what a...
Good series.
What a triumph.
Thank you so much. Yeah. There was two party scenes and everyone had those dresses on.
I know, but
everybody had them.
Those people, those production companies have bought them up, and everything in op shops now is all like 90s and 2000s stuff.
Yeah.
Band t-shirts and checkered things and, you know, outfits.
What if you went to, like, if you needed clothes that were, you know, from the 80s and, you know, desperately out of fashion.
Where am I going?
And they, you know, they look like they've been dragged.
Who is it?
Straight out of the boot of a car park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, surely you just go to Studio 10s.
harsh. I love it.
Ed, how dare you?
I'm here for you. I love Caddy
Ed. That is a progressive young.
Caddy
young.
Ed.
Did you call Studio 10 young?
Imagine the clothes. I know she's not there anymore, but I'd have tried to have a few of those.
My
God.
Are you looking for something a little off the shoulder? That kind
of
style?
All of it. Off the shoulder, sequined, ruffles, rah-rah, taffeta.
Oh, here we go. Here's Becky.
Becky?
Becky from Five Doc. Hi, Becky.
What do you got?
Hi, Becky.
I've got a blue velvet halter neck from the 80s because I used to wear it.
You betcha,
and it's
Becky.
Got black taffeta underneath.
Oh, is it quite? Could you take a picture and send it to us? And if we use it, we'll give you. Well, yes. Is it a size 10 ladies?
Yes.
Becky, you're on.
But I'm 5'2", so it's very. I was very small.
Okay. Well, if M doesn't take it, I will.
Becky, if it's a success and we use it, we'll hook you up with an R&B Friday
ticket.
Don't you worry. That's fine. We'll look after you.
Thank you, Becky. Okay.
But anyone else out there, I've got my relatives are texting. My auntie Rachel just texted me. My 21st dress is red. You can have that. That's amazing. That's good, guys.
Good work shopping, everyone.
Now, Julie Bishop, we've been trying to get her on the show all morning, but she's been too busy doing other media commitments.
Possibly taking over the head of the leadership of the Liberal Party.
She's told Carl Stefanovic this morning on the Today Show that it's not happening, that Malcolm Turnbull has the support of the party.
Is that like how Peter Dutton said 2 days ago in a tweet that I support Malcolm Turnbull and all the policies that he presents?
It's a bit like that.
Surprise! Is that like when a boss of a company and when a coach has the support of the board?
Yeah.
Like that.
We spoke to John O'Lee from Channel 10 at 7 o'clock about what's going on there. And one of the things that struck me the most was that he said that Wentworth, which is the electorate in the east of Sydney, it moves around, but Bonner Junction sort of east, basically, in Watson's Bay, could be up for grabs. Now, I lived in Wentworth for 15, 16 years, and I remember clearly when Malcolm Turnbull booted the local bloke that was there, Peter Debnam, and then he got really upset about it. And the joke is always that the Liberal Party could run a cardboard cutout in Wentworth and they would win.
Okay.
He said that was part of their thing, that could be in play. Now, that is a huge... They've never lost Wentworth. The Liberals have never lost it.
And leaning toward Green candidates, which surprised you.
And Jono said, doctors' wives.
Yeah, what a great explanation.
Isn't that a great explanation? It's like, doctors' wives. I'm like, man, what about the girlfriends? Who'd they vote for? So, I lived there many years.
Demographics change.
So, I think we're starting to take some calls from the people of Wentworth. Hello, caller.
Hello, it's Gavin from Double Bay here. Yes, I'm definitely a woman. A woman who's very glad Malcolm Turnbull is still Prime Minister, even though he's less popular than Channel 10's Pilot Week.
Come on.
Listen, guys, and women like me, Malcolm is a cool guy. He lives just down New South End Road from me in Point Piper, and every year we go together to the Double Bay Bowls Club Kick the Paw Soiree. It's always hilarious quaffing champagne as I sink my size 13 women's shoe into one of Malcolm's minimum wage gardeners. Hearing them scream in that crazy foreign language gets us laughing. And that Peter Dutton is disgusting. He looks like Darth Vader with the mask off. He looks like an angry potato. He looks like melted Paul Keating. He looks like a flaccid propped up in a suit. If we have to have a new Prime Minister, I think it should be Tony Abbott, the Lizard Man. He looks like someone stuck some hair on a frill neck, and I'm here for it.
Okay.
Or why not go with that sprightly young go-getter, John Howard? Little Johnny's welcome to fill my front bench anytime and my cabinet.
That's uncalled for.
I like it.
Today FM Breakfast. Weekdays from 6. 104.1 Today FM.